Hey guys, what you're about to listen to is part two of a two-part series of questions that you guys sent in that we are answering. If you haven't watched part one yet, you missed a lot of great questions. Go find that episode before you listen to this one. And if you want notifications for these in the future, make sure to hit that subscribe button. Let's get right into it.
Now we got a question from Jeff Runs Wild. Is protein, or is there a better protein to consume? Now, this is a great question because I personally see on social media, I'm sure everyone else does too, of everyone saying that you need to be taking in whole food protein to be healthier. Now, first of all, before I go into that, there is a few different proteins that you can take in. So there is whey protein. This is a lot for like protein powders, whey protein, casein protein, and even collagen, and whey isolate. So how all of these fit is, in my mind, okay, that protein is protein. So if you, it depends upon everyone's bodies, because if you were to take in whole foods, maybe for you, you might actually feel better if you're taking in whole food proteins, which is going to be like Greek yogurt, lean meats, you know, beef, chicken, fish, whatever. And then if you were to take in more processed, we could say, proteins of protein bars, protein shakes. What else would fit into that category, I guess?
Oh, GI issues because of lactose, they're going to look for that isolate.
That isolate holds better in your, yeah. So, I mean, that's my take on it, that either experiment with one or the other or change out if you wanted to try the whey isolate or the pea protein or whatever your heart desires. But I would be the first to say that one's not better than the other, but I mean, you might say something different.
No, I'd agree with that. I think this goes back to, you know, don't put too many restrictions on yourself. If you try to like idealize your diet too much, that just increases your chance of failure. And so if you're already just struggling to get protein in, take the shakes, you know, like there's no evidence out there that there's a benefit for never taking whey protein and getting full food sources versus taking whey protein. You know, obviously there's plenty of people out there that are jacked, healthy, and having a great life that have been taking whey protein for like, at this point, 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
And so I just don't think that the people walking around really show that. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I was just thinking, I would also add in that most of us in our lives, like it's probably a little bit more convenient for us to grab that protein shake quicker. I mean, just naturally for most of us, I know for myself, I don't have a million times of the day or so much time in the day to be able to cook up breakfast, lunch, and dinner with all these whole foods. Yeah. Like if I need to grab my protein, a quick protein shake, I feel good. I hit my protein and I'm on to the next thing.
Yeah. Very simple. It's like for me to sit down and not even counting like the time it takes to make it. For me to just sit down and eat a steak versus how fast I can chug a protein shake and get in 40 grams, it's just not even close. One thing I would like to do, I think we have the time for it. I wanna break down each of these real quick and just give like some advice on it. So we've got the whey protein. That's our standard normal protein. That's also what we consider a complete protein, which means it has all your essential amino acids. And that's just going to be your standard. That's most things that are out there that are like protein enhanced foods are going to have some type of whey protein in it. And like I said before, that's derived from milk. Casein is also derived from milk, and that's just a different type of protein that is in the standard cow's milk. And somebody who takes casein protein, I don't think it's as popular as it used to be. I don't hear about it much anymore. The only benefit to that is it digests slower in your system. So I think there were bodybuilders back in the day and maybe today still that preferred to take like a nice large casein protein shake prior to going to bed because it would keep them fuller overnight and deliver protein more slowly in their system. I mean, maybe there's a benefit if you're trying to combat hunger, but casein protein is more expensive. And so whey is going to be probably the better way to go for most people. The other one that we didn't really touch base on is collagen. That's extremely popular nowadays. Tons of women in our gym are on collagen. I think mostly for the proposed benefits to like hair, nails, skin. Mm-hmm. There's also some benefits that people claim about, you know, just your tissue pliability. If you're taking in more collagen, are you able to like become more flexible and resist stiffness a little bit more? That's something that I think the research is still coming out on that. I don't think we can definitively say that, but you should try it and see if it's a benefit for you. But we had somebody ask us a question in the gym the other day about whether taking collagen, a lot of people put it in their coffee, I think, vital proteins, collagen. Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. Perfect. They want to know whether it counts towards their total protein amount. And somebody was making the argument, well, I heard that it's an incomplete protein, and so it shouldn't count towards my protein. incomplete protein still count towards your protein total. Like if you're trying to get 200 grams in a day, you should definitely count that collagen. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be concerned that it's an incomplete, which just means that it's missing one of the key amino acids that our body survives off of, because all kinds of vegetarian foods are incomplete proteins, but we don't discount them just because they're missing an amino acid or two. And so if you're fretting about that, you shouldn't count it. Take it. If it makes you feel better, great. If it doesn't, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then we already touched on whey isolate. You know, if you're lactose intolerant, go for that. Some people that are lactose intolerant still are irritated by it. With all this stuff, guys, try it out and see if it works for you.
Yeah, never hurts to experiment with it.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff Runs Wild. All right, next one.
This one me? Okay. Jake McAdams, my buddy from the Mesa Fire Academy, firefighter in Mesa, Arizona. Love you, Jake. Miss you, buddy. He asked about fasting / strategic eating and about creatine, another super popular topic now. So let's take these one by one. Fasting. Matrice, you ever fasted?
Nope.
Never?
No.
What's the long? You don't love going without eating, no. So well, makes total sense.
I'm a little biased. I don't really love intermittent fasting, but like, yeah, I refuse to. I'm the type of person that is first to say that, like, you need to have food in the morning. Otherwise, I feel like you don't function. Like, and I know I need to because usually I like to work out in the mornings. So I need to have something in me. But works for some people. I know plenty of people it works for. So I'm not hating on it. Just doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Once again, different strokes for different folks, right? It's like you got to find what works for you. And intermittent fasting works.
Have you done it?
Incredible for some people. I almost accidentally do it most days.
Yeah, fair.
So if I'm left to my own accord and I was just at home for 2 weeks straight, I wouldn't eat until noon every day besides coffee. And so I prefer not to eat in the morning. I don't know why. Food just kind of messes with my stomach earlier in the morning. And I think I just like to get to work right away. So I don't like taking that time to eat a meal. I'm just different than you, you know?
Yeah.
I have trouble eating, you know, you have trouble not eating.
Right.
You know? And so, but intermittent fasting is an excellent diet strategy because remember, when we're trying to lose weight, we just care about your total calories coming down to the point where your body will break down fat for energy. And so if you don't eat half the day, well, then you can probably get in some really good solid meals in the last half of the day and really like your life as long as you can tolerate not eating, you know, in the first part of the day. And so if that's a strategy that works for you, excellent. My gripe is with the people that claim that intermittent fasting is some sort of health hack or that they're optimizing their hormones, or people will throw around the word autophagy, which is precancerous scheduled cell death. When we are in prolonged fasted states, more like closer to 72 hours, your body will start to seek out and kill off precancerous cells. That's a natural occurrence that's happening in everybody's body all the time, and that can be a benefit. However, if you're just doing a 12-hour fast every single day, you're not getting that benefit. My other gripe about that is that whole autophagy and catabolic breakdown of precancerous cells is also something that happens with prolonged caloric deficit. So if you are cutting for 8 weeks, you're going to get those same benefits. So like with anything in the fitness industry that's a fad, people like to act like it's amazing. It's simply a really good diet strategy if it works for you and you like to lead your days that way.
And it's simply, I mean, a calorie, putting you in a calorie deficit, right? Because yep. You're just taking, you have less of a window to take in food.
100%. And I think that intermittent fasting is not dissimilar to another diet strategy that we tell people to use, talking to the point of strategic eating, which is calorie banking. So like, let's say Matresa and her boyfriend are going to go out for like an anniversary dinner and she wants to like go ham on dinner and dessert. Well, she's probably going to eat really light during the day, right?
Right.
So you stay on your goals. And that's something that you can totally use. And I think that's a similar thing. But if you put a fancier name on it, like intermittent fasting, then everybody thinks it's fancy.
Yes.
But if we just say calorie banking, then everybody's like, oh, I already do that all the time.
And even with that, too, I will say, I guess, I do use this, like, ways to try to, like, curb your hunger if you're trying to wait till later, let's say, on a calorie banking or whatever. Like, caffeine is a huge thing. Like, I love coffee. I honestly could probably just drink coffee all day if I could and just have that.
Yeah.
But I also like to put, like, sugar in my coffee. So that makes a little bit of a difference, I'd say, there, that I'm still getting plenty of calories out of it, you know. But
yeah.
And so that curbs my hunger.
And while we won't push you guys to, like... towards excessive use of stimulants or anything
like
that.
Yeah, no.
Like if you are cutting and you are struggling with hunger, caffeine and nicotine are both stimulants that will reduce your hunger. And I think people do this naturally all the time. If you wake up and you start drinking coffee, you're just not hungry for a while. Mm-hmm. And so you can, if you can use that to your advantage without it becoming a problem, then you should totally do so. You know, obviously if it gets out of control, we're not pushing for that. We're pushing for you to use it as an adult.
Yes, use wisely.
And then another strategic eating method that you could use is cycling calories. So you can have high days and low days. Some people find that to be mentally a little bit easier to attack. Instead of being in a deficit every single day, maybe they have a higher calorie day and then they have a lower calorie day. And they know when they come to that day, they're like, I'm getting rewarded because I have higher calories today. And then the next day it's like, all right, I got high calories yesterday. So I'm going to be able to be a little bit more strict on myself and take a low calorie day today. As long as over the course of the week you are maintaining your normal deficit, that's totally fine. The one thing I would say is that if you are gonna do high calorie days and your strength training, you should take your high calorie days on the days that you train so that you not only have some fuel in the system when you go to train so you can perform well, but also so that you can get some extra protein in post-workout so that you can actually recover.
Now utilize those calories.
All right, last one.
Oh, I guess we didn't talk about creatine.
Oh, we didn't. We got to get into creatine.
Can't forget about creatine.
Yeah. Go ahead. Start us off. Do you take creatine?
I do take creatine.
Awesome. How much do you take?
I took it because you talked me into it like a year ago. Well, you didn't talk me into it. You educated me on it.
Fair.
I think I take about like 10 grams a day now. I tried to up it. So I guess the usual is about 5 grams I think people take, right?
Yeah, I think that's the recommended dosage on most creatine supplements is 5 grams per day. There's definitely research out there now. If you're on Instagram at all right now, everybody's talking about creatine, mm-hmm. just like I talked about with intermittent fasting, these other things, like ice baths were a year ago. If somebody's screaming that it's amazing, it's probably good, but it's probably not like a godsend. You know,
yeah.
Creatine's been around for a very long time, and it's just now resurging in popularity. Because some more recent studies came out that said that it's good for brain health and all this stuff. And we're not going to put too much emphasis on one study that comes out, mm-hmm. but there is some definite benefit for muscle growth. And so like, what do you notice when you start taking creatine?
I would say that I feel like my muscles are for sure fuller. And I could say that honestly, and maybe it's mental, but I don't know. I can like push through workouts a little bit harder, I'd say at times too with creatine.
That makes total sense for what creatine is. And so on a brief run, creatine is a transport molecule that exists inside your muscles. And so when you flex your muscles, when you're using them for activity, your body is breaking down a compound called ATP. I promise I won't get too technical here, guys. Mm-hmm. But breaking down a compound called ATP. And that's what causes your muscle to be able to contract. And so when ATP runs low and you would normally be fatigued post or like in the middle of a set or right after a set, creatine is a shuttle that comes in and replenishes ATP. And so what it really allows you to do is if I were to do 3 sets of bicep curls and I wasn't on creatine, maybe I'm going to do 30 pounds in each hand for 10 reps on my first set. And then I'm going to do 30 pounds in each hand on my second set for 10 reps. And then I come to that third set and I'm toast and maybe I have to go down to 25 pounds or maybe I only can get 7 reps. Well, maybe when you're on creatine, because you're recovering better in between every single set, then I get to lift heavier on that third set, and therefore you get stronger and bigger over time faster than if you weren't on it. And so it's definitely not a miracle supplement. You're not going to get bigger and stronger without doing the work on it. And so it's important that you know that you still have to go in and lift hard in order for creatine to give you any sort of advantage.
I would say too that I feel like creatine has been in the, I don't know, on social media, everything more is because it's trying to push a little bit more of like women should be taking creatine, because I think far too long women were nervous to take creatine. Just from things I've read is that people claim it makes you bloated or it makes you bulky. And like, that's all just so not true. Like I understand where they hear the bloating from, because I mean, you need to be taking in more water for sure when you're taking in creatine, but it like helps you look more plump, like makes your muscles look bigger and like more full, I should say. And who doesn't want to look like that? So I think like I've liked taking creatine. I've definitely noticed a difference. I mean, it's the most studied supplement. So if there's something you want to try, that'd be the first one I'd recommend out of anything.
yeah, from a safety standpoint, I don't think anybody has concerns anymore. It's been studied for so long.
Take it in anyways with like meats and stuff.
Oh yeah, steak has plenty of creatine in it. And creatine naturally exists in your muscles. It's it's just you're getting more of it.
It's nothing foreign.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, to your point, what you were talking about people's concerns with water retention and bloating, I think it's important to point out that when you do take in creatine, creatine, because it lives inside the muscle, is promoting intramuscular water retention, which means that the water inside the muscle, the volume of water is increasing. So it's not putting on water weight like in your skin or around your midsection like you might think it would. That's what you were talking about that plumpy feeling. When I first start taking creatine and my muscles start holding on to more water, I simply feel like my muscles look more shapely and I'm digging it, you know? Which is excellent. And I think that also has a benefit potentially for recovery, because if your muscles are better hydrated, they're going to recover better, they're going to perform better, and just all the good things that come with that.
For sure.
It is important to remember to you have to be taking in water like crazy when you're on creatine. There's definitely a risk of like creatine headaches. So if you're dehydrated and you're taking creatine, then I will get a massive headache from that. It's dehydration. My brain just doesn't have enough water then. And so continue to drink water like crazy and you'll actually feel it. Your muscles will feel full when you're really doing it well. And then the last added benefit to that is if your muscles are full of water and you go in and let's say you do some biceps training, you're going to get a way better pump. And we know that the pump is a signal that the muscle needs to grow. And so if you get pumps every single workout and they are better on creatine, then you're definitely in the right zone.
Absolutely. To note on that too is it's creatine monohydrate is what you're going to want to look for if that's what you're interested in. But so great question, Jake. Loved it. All right. Last one, Nick. The honors.
Marla Ellen Watermelon. Sick name. When should I be eating, hydrating for my workout, and taking pre-workout? Yeah, this is a really good question. So let's just start with when you should be eating. Let's say you wake up in the morning and you're going to have a workout at like 7 a.m. or 8 a.m., even 5 a.m., whatever. This is my biggest gripe with our members in the gym and my biggest gripe with everybody who trains early is please eat before you work out. The only thing that you're doing by not eating is decreasing your performance. And we need to be able to perform well in order to increase muscle mass and strength. What we recommend typically is just to get in some really fast digesting carbohydrates. And so people at our gym like to joke that I'm pushing them to eat donuts all the time. I'm not necessarily, but that is a good option if it fits into your calories. That's totally fine. But my recommendation is more so like, you know, some type of carbohydrate heavy granola bar. I'm a big fan of those mini Gatorades that they sell.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're really easy on your stomach. Some people don't like to eat that first thing in the morning or right before a workout, but if you can get somewhere in the range of 20 to 30 grams of carbohydrates in your system 30 minutes prior to training, I promise you, you will notice a massive difference in your performance. Because if you go into a workout and you do not have fuel in your system, then as soon as your body starts to use up the carbohydrates that are already stored in your muscle, it's gonna try to pull more in from your bloodstream. And if those levels are already low, like we know they are when we wake up, that's when people start to get dizzy. It's when they get foggy headed and you're starting to play with fire there.
Yep.
And you're not going to pass out, or most of us aren't, so you're just going to decrease your performance.
For sure. My favorite little pre-workout is like either a peanut butter toast or I like rice cakes a lot. So put a little bit of peanut butter on that. Carbs for sure.
What about after workout?
After workout, well, protein, of course. We always talk about protein. I would say timing-wise, I guess I don't focus on the timing as much myself, but do you focus on timing more than?
The earlier I can get it in, the better. That's back to that time issue. If I wait 5 hours to get in protein, then that's 5 hours my body hasn't started the recovery process. And so if I can get it in 1 hour, that'd be best.
Quicker you recover, better you can perform.
Yep, exactly. Once again, 20 to 30 grams on both this. 20 to 30 grams of protein plus 20, 30 to grams of carbohydrates after your workout, ideally within an hour, but the sooner you can get it in, the better. That's going to be beneficial. If you just hit a really hard kind of cardiovascular workout where you're really fatigued and you kind of have that foggy headedness that we often feel, then the first thing your body needs is carbohydrates, because that's just a signal that your brain is kind of starved of glucose. Mm-hmm. And so you want to get some carbs in. Sure, you can get your protein in, but you might not fade that foggy feeling unless you actually get some carbs in.
Perfect. Hydrating for a workout. That's kind of a, I don't know. What would you say on that? I am always constant drinking water, hydration. So it's hard for me to say.
Yeah, constant hydration is really the key there, because let's say you were to wake up early in the morning for a workout. You're not, any water that you're chugging, like in the first couple hours of the day, likely isn't going to be actually like integrated into your system and in your muscles by the time that you work out. So yes, it's still good that you drank the water, but there's not going to be an immediate benefit to your workout. And so I often think about it, if I'm going to work out in the morning, I really want to be well hydrated before I go to bed to set myself up for success for the next day. And so if I think about it like that, and I wake up in the morning and my pee might be like light yellow, and I know that I only need like a little bit of water to really get my levels up, then I know I'm in a good zone.
I think even you could fight that adding in some electrolytes or some sort before you could make a difference.
Yeah, it's like, well, why is Gatorade such a great hydration supplement? It's because it has electrolytes in it, you know, your salts and your potassiums and all those things that help help with muscle function. But it also has carbohydrates in it. And people, I think, don't understand that carbohydrates help drive water into the muscle. And so there is a benefit to hydrating with some of those drinks that are calorically enhanced, like juices and Gatorade, as long as it fits into your calories.
For sure. See, so carbs and salt are not bad for you. Okay. They're good for you.
What about pre-workout? You take pre-workout?
I just started to, but I wouldn't even count it as much of pre-workout. It's more of a pump work because there's no caffeine or anything in it. I feel like most people take pre-workout because of the caffeine, and I don't need that. So I just take it's pump. It's like PE Science pump pre-workout, right? Is that what it's called?
It's like a nitrogen supplement so that it opens up your blood vessels so that the blood flow to your muscles is enhanced. It does work.
Yeah, it does give me a nice pump. But I mean, it's not, I mix it with my creatine personally just so that it helps me get in my creatine. But I've never taken like caffeinated pre-workout. I did once and I got too itchy. So it freaked me out.
Yeah, and that itchiness, that's the beta alanine in it. Yeah. And so if you have a really high beta alanine, or if you're sensitive to it and you take those, sometimes that can deter from what you're really going for. And frankly, most pre-workouts, most pre-workouts don't have enough beta alanine in it to really get the physical benefits. They just put it in there because guess what? If you start itching your face, then you believe that what you took worked, right? It's the same reason they put a little bit of soap into toothpaste. If it suds up, it's got to be doing a better job than if it was just flat. So sometimes that's just them as a supplement company convincing you that something is working in your system.
I would say for pre-workout with that, like taking that 30 minutes before, that's usually what works best for me. That's probably when it really kicks in for you if you are taking the caffeinated or if you take the pump like I do. Even though too, I would argue like pre-workout can also be, I mean, your pre-workout snack, that's a lot of times that gives you the energy that you're looking for as well. So
that's, and the 30 minutes is the important time window, because whether it's, you know, the breakdown of carbohydrates into glucose to get in your bloodstream, or it's the caffeine, getting, you know, into your stomach and through into your bloodstream, it takes about 30 minutes for that breakdown to occur and for it actually to be utilized by your body. And so, sure, you can take it 15 minutes before and, you know, that stuff will kick in a little bit later in the workout, but you definitely don't want to be taking all that stuff an hour before.
Mm-mm. No, otherwise you'll be very, you're itching your face off, right, you know, 30 minutes earlier than your workout. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, guys, that is all of our questions. So if you liked this, please don't be afraid to send in more questions. We would love to do more Q&As. This was fun.
Yeah. How can they send you questions?
You can send me questions on Instagram. You can find me at MatracaFit, MatracaFit.
And I am at Nick, NICK, _Byom, BYOM on Instagram. You can find our home Strength Academy page for our gym at Strength Academy RF on Instagram. Anywhere else you find us, YouTube, TikTok, those are going to be at Strength Academy 101. What else am I missing?
Well, I would even just say there, if you're watching this on YouTube, you could totally leave comments on there too of questions.
Yeah,
so,
and please, guys, if you can hit the subscribe button, follow button on anything that you're following us on, that's excellent feedback for us, and it'll guarantee that you continue to get great information. So that's all.
See you guys next week.
Peace out.